Kol hazman.
Elohim tov.
That's God is good all the time. Isn't it wonderful how God is thinking about you even when you think he's not? Amen. He's planning stuff for you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm so happy for Chrissy. She's all in her little place. How many? She, even though she lives in Timbuktu.
Okay.
But she got her own place because God was thinking about her. So praise God. I'm going to let Drea pray me in, and then we're going to get started in the Word.
Amen. Amen. I'll be brief. Amen. This is one of our beautiful Bibles that Pastor Ben, I guess there's this one of three. I have two right here to show you. Here's a King James, absolutely free. We also have tallits. We have anointed prayer oil. We have all of this as materials and resources for you. We have a Bible 101 book that will help you grow in the Lord, along with the Bibles to help you study. So please take advantage of these resources. You can find them at...
While supplies last.
I love that little ad. Amen. Because they are going quickly, and we don't want you to think because we're dry that we forgot about you or we're neglecting you. It's just because we're dry at the moment. But as the resources come in, we'll send them right out. Amen.
Yeah.
It's s4cbible101@gmail.com.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Well,
S4C.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Look on the website if I'm wrong, and I
there
apologize.
You go. There you go.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna go right into prayer. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of weeks, Pastor. This wasn't the first week, and he asked for a prayer assignment. But physical abuse.
Yes.
This is the second week in a row. And so I just wanted to say that God didn't call us to be abused, ladies.
Mm-mm.
That is not of God.
Mm-mm.
We have to stand together and be strong and pray.
Yes.
And I pray anybody in her circle that has the power to help her. I pray. We don't want to leave anyone in a situation where their life is threatened. Don't feel comfortable. It is not your calling to go back to that abusive relationship. If you think it's going to help your family, it could actually put the rest of your family in harm. God does not call us to do that. We are called to pray for him
mm-hmm.
and to understand why there's so much anger that would bring him to that place. But we are not called to put ourselves in that kind of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to pray for that sister. Know that we are going to be praying vigilantly for her,
yeah.
Praying for resources, praying for people to come help. Praying for opportunity that she can take care of herself and be strengthened in the Lord.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, today you gave us some assignments, dear Jesus, that we can't understand with our earthly mind, dear Lord, how people can go through, dear Jesus. But we know by your strength, dear Lord, by the power in your anointing, dear Lord, that your word protects, dear Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Your words, dear Jesus, that we can run to your bosom and you carry us in these times, dear Lord, that no one is left, dear Lord, without the protection of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we pray for those that are struggling, dear Lord. We pray for that wife. We pray for that little boy in the hospital, dear Jesus, dealing with vomiting, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for that prayer list, dear Jesus, those that are dealing with cancer and chemo, dear Lord.
Yes.
We, Lord, that your ways are better than your ways. Your thoughts are greater than our thoughts, dear Lord. We cannot understand, but you do.
Yes.
And so you gave us something that we can do. And we can stand together as a body
yes.
and pray with the authority of Christ and expect change. So we thank you right now, dear Lord. We pray together, dear Jesus. We stand with the pastor as the word goes forth, dear Lord. We know that you've ministered to him first, dear Jesus, that this will be an on fire word needed for a day as today, dear Jesus. We thank you for who he is before your word. Our pastors are before your altar and they receive from you first, dear Jesus. I thank you for that. I thank you for today, and I thank you whether it was in prayer or in this word as we get set before this Bible study right now, dear Jesus, for this service, dear Lord, that we've come with an expected heart. We've come ready to hear from you, dear Lord. We've come ready to receive your healing, dear Lord, your anointing over this place, dear Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Rachel is here visiting all the way from Huntington Beach. Hallelujah. Thank you. And we're going to get started in the Word. The Lord told me to write down a few things that we need to be reminded of. First of all, since Psalms 120 says, Father God, deliver us from lies, the Lord wanted me to let you know it is still a lie. Okay? Don't think the more they lie, the more it becomes truth. Coronavirus is still a lie, okay? It is a flu, okay? They patented it so they can make money off of it by creating a vaccine. But it is illegal to patent that nature already has, which is the cold, okay? But they don't tell you that, all right? So now they have this vaccine and they're scaring the heebie-jeebies out of, that's a Pastor Ben word, out of everyone, because in some parts of the world, people have come down with being tested positive for HIV because they took the vaccine. Yeah. And come to find out, they put what they said, HIV proteins in the vaccines to make sure that, and I'm like, why would you put HIV inside of a vaccine for a flu virus?
HIV.
But anyway, they said they had to shut down their vaccine, and I think that was Australia. But then you have this young lady that comes on the news, I think in Chicago the other day, and she takes the vaccine, and she wants to do it in front of the camera, in front of everyone. Then she faints. Then all the doctors try to attend to her. And then this morning they find out she died.
No, Pastor.
And she passed away.
No, Pastor.
Now they say, oh, well, you know, she always had fainting. She woke up fine that morning and she went to work fine that morning until she got the vaccine. So the reason they're saying that is so that she can't sue the hospital. But she shouldn't have never received a vaccine. She was feeling fine. She did not have the flu. She did not have anything. She just came there and decided we're going to do this in front of the camera to show the world that taking a vaccine can be okay. And she fainted, of course, in front of the camera. And then I got word this morning, and you can verify whether it's true or not, that she passed away. And so you can't just take vaccines in your arm because they tell you it's okay. You know, I mean, Bill Gates is already, there's a country already trying to get Bill Gates to come and stand criminal trial for 46,000 deaths and polio and something else that he caused through vaccines that he, and then now he put $1.6 billion toward the corona vaccine. So that Pfizer vaccine has $1.6 billion of Bill Gates' money, who is already being criminally charged for destroying people with vaccines. So my answer is no, I'm not taking it. Show me where the jail is, but I'm not taking it, okay? There is, there's no need. Vaccines are very dangerous. And I need to let you know that the amount of sicknesses and even things that children are coming down with, where this young lady in Toronto, her children were speaking just fine and talking just fine until they received their vaccines. And then it put all of that metal into their system, and now they can't talk. And I'm like, she should be able to sue that whole country. But they put in a clause that no vaccine company can be sued. So therefore, they can give people these things without the risk of being sued. And so, you can look at that young lady as she's taking this vaccine live on television.
They said she's in Tennessee. It was Tennessee.
Yeah. And There was no reason for her to take a vaccine. I know she was trying to show America, because that's what they wanted her to do, show America that it's safe. Well, it's not safe. She died, okay? And she should have never been taking a vaccine. You feeling good? Good. Yeah. You should feel good tomorrow if you don't take a vaccine.
Amen.
These people are crazy. It is a plan, and it is still a lie. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to read in the book of Colossians today, Colossians chapter 1, because I really want to establish inside of all of us sitting here, because I don't do religion. I want you guys to know that. I don't do religion. I don't do feel good church. I don't do pastor worship. I don't do church weirdness. I don't do it, okay? Because I know it's all a lie. Amen. I want people who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that their personal relationship with Jesus Christ goes beyond them coming to church. It is something that they do at home. It's the Bible that they read when they're not here. It is the prayer that they pray when they're not here. Because your relationship with God is your relationship with God.
Right.
And when you stand before God, you better not say, and Pastor Sandy can vouch for me. Pastor Sandy is out of it. I gave you everything I could, but if you didn't take it home and this didn't become personal to you, then I'm telling you, this is about a personal relationship with God, okay? Yeah. It is the first religion of all mankind. God, Adam, let's talk. That was it. No church buildings, no nothing, right? And it is still the only religion that God accepts. Personal, day-to-day relationships, okay? So, I want us to understand who Christ is. I want us to understand what lies are, okay? Because a lot of people lie. And now the Lord's leading me to this before I go to Colossians. Now, forgive me for doing this. No, don't forgive me, because the Lord told me to read this first.
Amen.
Now listen, you as a Christian are responsible for learning for yourselves, okay? Yeah. So if someone comes over and says, oh, well, Pastor Sandy, I don't know if I should have a Christmas tree in my house, and I don't know if I should let my kids get toys and have Santa Claus stuff, because I heard it's a pagan Babylonian religion, and Santa Claus really stands for Satan Claus, and you can, because people listen to so much YouTube, they try to push out the new truth that they've learned, right? They have no idea where Christmas came from. It's just a ripoff of Hanukkah anyway, because of the decorations and the gift giving. It's just a ripoff of Hanukkah. They give gifts during Hanukkah. They decorate with lights during Hanukkah. It's called the Festival of Lights. That's why we do all the decorating, okay? Now, they say, oh, well, Horus and all these pagan gods were born on December 25th. It's a lie, okay? None of them were born on December 25th, but their pagan religions say they were born on December 25th because they want to make sure that they corrupt what happened on December 25th. And what happened on December 25th? The conjunction of two stars creating the biggest star in the world, which they call the Star of Bethlehem, and that happened on December 25th. Now, the other thing that they say was, oh, what about the pagan tree? Because when we go outside, well, Jeremiah, it says here, the modern Christmas tree originated during the Renaissance of the early Germany in 1600s. and are sometimes associated with the Protestant church and reform because Martin Luther had started the reform. And anyway, so people start bringing in evergreens and decorating them and putting them in their house, and that became the tradition. Well, in the book of Jeremiah, it says that the pagans in Babylon, they brought trees into their house. They decked them out with gold and silver, and then they don't read what happened after that. Then they bowed down to those trees and they worshiped those trees as gods. That's what the Babylonians did. Okay, so now if you go and buy a tree and you decorate it and you bring it into your house, is God mad at you yet?
No.
It's decoration. If you bow down to that tree and say, "Oh, you have made me, oh tree, thank you for all your supplies," now God is upset at you. You understand? If you believe you got to keep the tree in your house for good luck after, mm-hmm. you are wrong. If you take it out and you dump it in the dumpster and they pick it up and throw it in the trash, it's just the tree you decorated for a season. Understand? Don't get all weirded out with a bunch of people telling you what you can and cannot celebrate. A matter of fact, I'm going to read something. This guy who was, they called St. Nicholas, he was an actual priest in the Catholic Church. And he was, I'm going to read it so it's more, he says, he was a priest and a bishop, acclaimed for his charity and his love for children and the poor. St. Nicholas was born during the 4th century in Petra, a large southern coast of Turkey. His wealthy parents, who raised him to be a devout Christian, died in an epidemic while Nicholas was still young. He inherited their wealth. There was a time that a merchant could not pay his debt, and so they were going to take his daughters. Saint Nicholas secretly snuck the money into this guy's house through the window. And the next day paid his bills and saved his daughters from prostitution. He said this was the beginning of St. Nicholas. And it says St. Nicholas was a Christian bishop who provided for the poor and the sick. And then, of course, from him doing that, they came up with the whole myth of Santa Claus, right? But from the beginning, this was somebody that did these acts of kindness because he had inherited all this wealth. And when he went against the fact that the Catholic Church did not believe, was not preaching the Trinity at the time, and he said the Trinity was true, then they kicked him out, and then he was no longer able to give out his gifts, so he started doing that secretly, okay? So let's not get weirded out, okay? Now, you ask me about Easter, it's as pagan as it can be. You shouldn't be bringing in no bunny rabbits and painting no eggs, okay? But Christmas is just a ripoff of Hanukkah, all right? Amen. So don't get all weirded out sending me stuff saying, I got to throw my tree out and my kids are upset because we took down the Christmas. So I was like, put that stuff back up. You're just a ripoff of Hanukkah. Tell them it's Hanukkah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Praise God. Sorry about that. The Lord had me make sure. He said, make sure you go over that because religiously wise people want to make up all kinds of stuff. Okay. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. And we are going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 9. And it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, you see that? Did you hear what I said? It is not just you accept Christ and you're saved by grace. What does it say? To bear some fruit.
Yeah.
Okay? To walk worthy of the calling. To not take advantage of grace. If you're struggling with sin, realize that you have something that the world does not have. And what does the world not have? They don't have Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I can ask for forgiveness because I belong to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means I can always reestablish my relationship with God and ask God's help as I'm struggling with sin or with life, okay? But I'm always fighting. Why? Because I'm fighting against sin because I want to be pleasing to God.
Yeah.
You understand? I don't want to be the husband with attitude all the time. I want to go to God and say, you know what, Lord? I don't want to be this type of person. Can you help me to overcome this? I said something wrong. I apologize to her, but I want to apologize to you too, Lord, and ask for your forgiveness. We are in a real relationship. It's ongoing like this, okay? Thing is, nothing goes by God without being noticed. So if you noticed it, the scripture says this: God is it, the Spirit is greater than yours, and he understands. Like when you do something wrong, if you believe that it was wrong, your spirit is greater than you. You understand? And it knows that you did something wrong, okay? Or he knows that you've done something. So always stay in tune. Don't quench your spirit.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
And when I say quench, I mean the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you about something that he's not pleased with, and you're going, and you're like pouring water on it, go like, oh, never mind, I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. That's quenching the spirit, okay? That's what you call quenching the spirit. That means putting your fingers in your ear when the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you something that's not correct. You understand?
Yeah.
You don't do that. We're all constantly growing and being corrected and doing things. You understand? It's a constant battle. So jump in and enjoy it, because at least you have the ability to repent and to keep going. You know what I mean? Never quit or give up, because if you quit or give up, now you're taking yourself out of the race, and now your salvation's in trouble. So never be afraid of your relationship, okay? Rather it's a great relationship with the Lord, or rather you're still struggling with a few things, still stay in relationship. Things you need help, ask for help, okay?
Yes.
Things you need to grow in, ask for growth. You understand? But never come out of relationship, because this is a relationship. Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominions of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is, talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. By who all things were created? Jesus created all things. By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible and visible, rather thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things were created by Jesus for Jesus, okay? He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have, so in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him. So the fullness of the Godhead dwelt inside who?
Jesus.
Both Holy Spirit, Son, Word, Father, all inside of Jesus. Do not join the world in trying to separate Jesus or the Holy Spirit and saying they're not one. Like Jesus and God are not one. Jesus is Jesus, God is God. Then you, once you do that, you know what you've done? You've joined every pagan religion in the world, because all of them believe in Jesus, they just don't believe he's God. And what the word is trying to let you know is that all things were created by Jesus. Understand? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the word said, let the, who's the word that's speaking all things into creation? Who's the word of God? Where is the word coming from? Inside of God. So understand that Jesus is God. God is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. You have absolutely no problem, any of you, because if I start talking to you and your spirit and your soul as three different people, you're going to think I lost my mind. Because I say, all three of you come here. And you go, you know, three of us? That's one of us. We're made in the image of God. We all live in here. This is my soul, this is my body, and this is my spirit. We all in here. Don't start saying there's three different. So we understand that we were born in his creation, in his image. So therefore, understand that God, Jesus, when he was here on earth, was God in the flesh. Doing what? Let's continue. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, rather things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, that was me, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. And if you continue, you hear that? I'm going to read this again, okay? But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. If, verse 23 starts off like, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So you are in Christ and you are saved, and you cannot be accused of sin standing at judgment before God. If what? If you continue. What if you don't continue? Opposite. If you don't continue, now that lets us know that you can either continue your relationship in Christ or you can abandon it if sin becomes more attractive. So we all have the ability to continue. And that's what I love. I love a fighter. I don't care if you're not that good of a Christian. I wasn't that good of a Christian in the beginning either. People might say, you know, you ain't that good yet, Pastor. But listen, you being a good Christian is not the end all be all. You being established in Christ and continually fighting in Christ is what God is interested in. Are you continuing the fight? Because the world is always going to offer you to come back. You're missing out on all the fun.
Amen.
Okay? So don't do it. But it's happening. Oh, God, there's a reason God has me reading this. Okay. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, for that's where the Lord wanted me to stop reading. Okay, now, listen to this portion. This is Paul who is writing this book. Okay. Have you guys heard about a new religion that Paul is, He's the reason for Christians believing in Jesus and abandoning God.
What?
Have you heard that? This is a new religion. That they believe that, you know, Paul wrote certain books, and those books are for Gentiles, and the rest of the gospel, like the four gospels and Revelation, all those are not for, this is dividing the word. So we only read the Paul books, and so therefore we're saved by grace, and you don't have to live right. All of these things are like new gospels that are presented to young, immature believers so that you start getting away from truth. This is why I'm saying, if you, now believe me, in the beginning I hated math. I liked reading, thank God I liked reading, but I hated math. But I had to learn to study the Bible and be in the Word for myself. Because if I didn't, then I was going to end up being someone's casualty, which at 19, changing my name to Rahman Abdul Rahim and thinking that Islam was now the way was part of my stupidity and me not knowing the Bible for myself. Thank God he sent an ex-Muslim who accepted Jesus Christ to lead me back to Christ, to tell me it was a stupid thing, right? And to show me that the Quran wasn't even written until 600 years after Jesus, which I didn't know, completely shocked, which you're shocked about a lot of things if you don't study for yourself, okay? Don't be shocked that Jesus is God. Study it. The Bible will tell you that Jesus is God, right? Just read John chapter 1, verse 1. That could solidify the whole thing for you. You understand? But we're called into this thing to have a real relationship with God. We're saved. There's no salvation in any other name other than Jesus Christ. And this is what's been presented to you. Now, this is what God is about to save us from. And for everyone who is in Christ, who has a relationship in Christ, you're about to be saved from something. You understand? They don't create, they didn't set up this whole scenario so that you could get off scot-free. You know what scenario I'm talking about? They didn't create a virus that already existed in nature, which is illegal, because people have gotten cold since the beginning of time. Okay, they didn't create it, patent it as a virus, as a virus, and then issue it to the world and saying that it's a COVID virus and this is something new. It's not new. It's the cold. And it's still amazing that more people have died in 2018 and 2019 than 2020 from the flu than from COVID. But they're not going to tell you that, because the lie is on, okay? And what is the lie about? Getting the whole world's population to take a vaccine. Why would they want the whole world to take a vaccine, Pastor Sam? Population reduction. That young lady died. You understand? Other people are coming down with HIV. Then bowel palsy. Some of the people took the virus and they had face paralysis. I had to look it up. Their whole face was numb for a whole day from taking a vaccine. I thought the vaccine was supposed to help me. Oh no, you. So listen, this is a planned destruction of human beings. You don't have to believe me. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. This is a planned destruction of human beings.
Yeah.
All of you need to listen, to go back and listen to what God told me in March when this thing first started. Pastor Ben said, Pastor Sandy, I think you should come in tomorrow and say something about the new COVID thing. Thank you. Let me put it on the other side. Thank you. Okay. In March, I did a thing and I said, but in the end of what I said was that the Lord said, whatever you do, do not take the vaccine. The poison is in the vaccine. I said that in March. God made sure that that message went worldwide.
Everywhere.
4 million, 6 million, all over the world, right? I've never went viral before, but that showed me that this is what I'm telling you to say, and then God made sure that people heard it.
Yeah.
Now look, there has been a plan to kill and reduce the population of human beings for a long time. This isn't just started. This is just one of their plans, okay? 2020 is the 120th year. It is a year of judgment. It is a year that the righteous get taken out and the world gets judged. We may not be able to say the day, the time, but we do know one thing, that in 120 years, judgment always falls. Okay? It's consistent biblically. So here we are in the 120th year. And the 120th year is documented by God. I want you guys to understand that. Do you guys understand that? The 120 years has been documented by God. How did he document it? First of all, God proclaims in Deuteronomy that in 1948, Israel would be back into the land. Then he creates a book with 60 books. The 19th book is Psalms. The 48th book going backwards is Psalms. The 48th chapter talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. The 47th talks about what the UN agreed to giving Israel the land back. Chapter 39 through 45 shows the Holocaust. 91 shows the Gulf War. So the whole book of Psalm is documented by God to show you, not only did I structure Psalms to be here, but I structured every year so that you can see I'm involved in it. Did you understand what I just said?
Yeah.
God wrote a book and he counted out 120 chapters till he got to a chapter called the Psalm of Ascent, of ascending up. The second verse says, rapture me out of lies. What are we dealing with in 2020?
Lies.
So that means just like he prophesied 1948, they'd be back in the land. That means in 2020, he knew it would be about lies. And we are in relationship for what reason? To be rescued from evil. Hatzalani min hara. That's the prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver me from evil.
Yes.
Okay? Because we're standing at the presence of it. And I want each and every person who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to understand, and everybody who's fallen away from Christ to understand the rescue of the born again Christian who is a part of the body of Christ, who is part of the bride, is about to be rescued out of the earth from a planned destruction.
Yes.
Unless you really feel that this whole virus thing and this whole shutting down of every nation is really not for the destruction of human beings. But you would be lying to yourself, because it is. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go through this study and I'm going to read it
step by step, so that we understand where we are. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Noah, come, thou and thy household, into the ark, for I have found you righteous in this generation." At that time, God was rescuing Noah and his family away from what? Evil and destruction. The next time God is going to count off 120 years is going to be 1900 to 2020.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, I'm going to rescue who? The righteous from. Now, you only have righteous and generations in two chapters in the Bible, and the other one's in Psalms chapter 14. And it says, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. That's Psalms 14, and 14 is the year, 1914 is the year that the First World War started. And it says that God is in the generation of the righteous. God is active in these 120 years. How do we know he's active? Because in 1900, we know that God already knew that Hitler was coming. We already knew God knew that the Holocaust was coming. We know that God knew that Hitler was going to die. We know that God knew that his 10 henchmen were going to die. We knew God knew it was going to be in Germany. God knew in 1991 the Gulf War would happen, so he put a scripture in there to say that he would protect Israel at all costs. All kinds of Scud missiles they shot at Israel. Not one landed. Because of Psalms 91. And so, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm trying to get you to understand. People are like, Pastor Sandy don't want us to take the virus. I mean, the vaccine. It's the same thing. But if you want to take it and you believe that Bill Gates likes you and he's just trying to help you get back to normalcy, fine. But I'm trying to tell you, this whole thing is a plot to destroy human beings. And God knows it, and God knows that your backs are against the wall. The worst thing to do to God's people is to put their backs against the wall, because now God has to get involved. And that's what they've done. So now you're about to experience this thing, because the rapture is a real event. It is spoken of in scripture, and it is a real event. It talks about you escaping from here so that you can experience real life. Because some of us really believe this is it. No. You don't understand what life is about. You don't even understand going a whole year without having a cold. I went 3 years without having a cold. I started thinking I was divine. And then it hit me this year. I'm like, man. So understand this. God is trying to give us a greater life. You inherited this when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You inherited an eternity with your kids, your family members, in complete health. Who knows? God says, who can think of all the great things that he has planned for us, right? So who knows? I mean, I was watching a movie called Jumpers, and the guy was able to be in California 1 minute, and he was able to be in Paris in the next minute. And I was like, ooh, that would be nice. And I was thinking, wow, maybe in heaven you can do that. Because I know Jesus was here, and then all of a sudden he was there.
Yeah.
He came to the door, and then all of a sudden he walked in, and you didn't open the door yet. It was like a lot of good stuff going on, right? So we don't really understand what life is yet because we're living in a limited dimension.
Yeah.
And you're living in a mortal body. Somebody hates you because God loves you. And he's hated you since God created you. That's why he went to Eve. I'm going to steal everything that God has given these two.
Amen.
Let's continue.
Amen.
So destruction and rescue will both happen in the 120th year. God has determined to count. Noah started building the ark when he was 480 years old. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that Noah moved with fear by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned this world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by what? Faith. The construction of the ark took place over this period of time of 120 years. I don't know if it took him 20 years. The book of Ezra says it only took him 5 years. I don't know how long, but I know one thing: when the 120 years was over, it was time for judgment.
Yep.
And God is the one that told him that judgment is coming in 120 years. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. It says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Noah is a type of Christ, the great ark builder who takes the 7 churches and his spirit out of the world. So now, is it just a coincidence that there are 7 churches that consist in the body of Christ? Is that a coincidence?
No.
Is it a coincidence that all 7 churches are the children of Jesus Christ, who is the door? So that means when Jesus Christ comes to the door and calls up the church, that's 8 people brought out of evil. You understand? Or standing in glory. Just as Noah and his 7 children were brought out and standing in glory. And Jesus is the one who says what? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. See, we're forgetting. While we're sitting and we're waiting for God, we're forgetting the things that Jesus said. And Jesus says, as the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. It was the 120th. It will be the 120th. We're in the 120th year. But Passover has passed. But Pentecost has passed and there was no rapture. Okay. Rosh Hashanah passed and there was no rapture. Okay. 17th of Heshvan passed. No rapture. Okay. God is sovereign. Has the year passed?
Nope.
No. The year is still the 120th year. The year is still designated for judgment.
Yeah.
Because every 120th year in Scripture, judgment falls. And it's no accident that we're in a position, because this is the perfect position to rescue people and bring judgment on people who deserve it.
Oh, yeah. 10 minutes.
Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcome with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day comes upon you unaware. For as a snare, it shall come on all who the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all that is about to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So don't get caught up in life and forget why you're here.
Amen.
Don't forget what you've been given.
You've been given eternal life. Fight for it. Okay? And understand that it's coming.
Amen.
I'm going to go to the end of this. Too much. There it is. Okay. Now listen. I want us to go to Psalms 120. When you're there, say amen. And I want to ask you the question. Okay. What happens in the book of tribulation? What happens in the book of Revelation during the tribulation? How long does the tribulation last for?
7 years.
7 years. How long is a generation? They say 70. Psalm chapter 90 says 70 or 80, right? Okay. So now, 80 years from 1947, 1948 is what? 2027, 2028. Okay? Which Christ says everything will be done by then. You understand? So we're in the, if everything's going to be done by 2027, 2028, and you're in 2020, that means.
Woo!
Come on. It is not, it is Christ who is saying, everything will be done. All prophecy will be fulfilled at the end of this generation. What generation? The generation of the fig tree. 1947-48, the announcement of the UN, and then the moving back in. 2027-2028, the coming of Christ. And so we're all set up in this absolutely perfect time. And we got all these beautiful kids, and I'm glad they're kids. And I'm glad God is so wise that he put in the book of Joel chapter 2. He says, prepare all the children to leave.
All the children.
Prepare them all. So still at the mother's breast. Prepare them all, because he says we're about to take them all out. So God has this thing prepared and ready, and the enemy has set it up where he thinks we got him now.
Mm.
What a bunch of Egyptian dummies.
Yeah.
We got him now. There's nowhere they can go now. God split seas. This is why Psalms chapter 1 through 41 gives you everything that happened from 1901 to 1941. Psalms 42 to Psalms 47 gives you exactly the events that happened from 1942 to 1947. Psalms 73 to 89, from 1973 to 1989. They're all documented. This is what I'm trying to say. Psalms 90 to 106, all documented. That's 1990 to 2006. Psalms 107 to Psalms 119, all documented. But then Psalms 20 begins by saying, this is the psalm of ascending up.
Yeah.
This is the psalm of Hatzilanu. This is the psalm of rapture. So we can either believe that God has forgotten about us and that we're going to have to just deal with this. Huh? Did I hear just... She went in. The news crew was there.
That's crazy.
Okay, you think God didn't want you to see this?
Yes, he did.
Huh? The news crew was there. We have these wonderful nurses that are going to take the vaccine on camera just to show the world that it's all safe. Before you know it, she's fainting. She collapsed. Then the next morning, they say, oh, she died. From what? The vaccine? Oh, no, she always had problems. Yeah, she didn't have no problems when she came in to work that morning. So are our backs against the wall? Who's going to take it now? Everybody's saying, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. Well, if you don't, you can't go back to work. If you don't, you can't travel.
Yeah.
If you don't, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't even get in the store unless you can prove you've been vaccinated. It can go as far as they want it to go. Your backs are against the wall.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for pushing the issue.
Yeah.
Because now you want to make God act. I read Colossians because God wanted you to know you've been saved out of something. And that is God who created you and created all things for himself, visible or invisible. And it is you that God has deemed that you are priceless, and that he has paid his blood for your redemption. For us to think that God has forgotten about us, or that this situation that God does, it's like God is up in heaven going, so what's going on down earth? What? There's a vaccine? I didn't know anything about that. Really? People are going to be forced to take it? Where are the angels? I need a briefing. Some Christians think that God is up there and he doesn't know. It's time to rejoice in this perfect time of rescue. You understand? We have Christ. Stay strong in him. Stay confident in God, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, your rescue is going to be an incredible thing. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.